The reading we've heard tonight from Luke's Gospel is a very familiar one. And I know it has been used at two previous services here today. So for those who have been to one service or more before this, well, I'm not going to apologise, but I'm going to hope that each service has added a blessing to this very special reading. Luke's first description of an encounter with the risen Christ is not with his inner group of friends, the disciples, but with these two people on their sad journey home. Luke does describe how the women encounter men in dazzling clothes at the graveside, and also Peter finding nothing and being amazed by that. But this encounter is the first meeting with Jesus that Luke describes. And today, as we think about this reading, I want us to think about three questions related to this story. Why did they not recognize Jesus? How did he reveal himself? And when did he reveal himself? And as we reflect on these, I hope, can learn how these answers can influence our Christian journey. How strange it was, really, wasn't it, that these two were talking about Jesus and yet they failed to recognize him, unaware that it was Jesus who walked with them. I'm sure we've all been in a scenario when we see someone and we sort of know that we know them but can't place them. I well remember meeting a dinner lady from the school I worked at in Marks and Spencer's. She wasn't wearing her usual overalls, and I knew this lady so well. I saw her every day, and yet I couldn't really remember what her name was. And sometimes it's just when someone speaks to you. The other week at lunch club, we had a helper come along, just replacing someone for a couple of weeks. And she was there the first week, and because I didn't go near to her, I didn't recognise her. The second week, she spoke to me, and straight away when she spoke to me, I knew who she was. She had been one of the carers who looked after my mum quite a lot when she was in Elmside, but it was only when she spoke to me. We have these things that give us a clue and remind us who these people are. But in this case, Jesus' voice and even his presence didn't seem to tell these two who they were walking with. And yes, I wonder, was it so strange? You can feel the mood of these two as they walk along. All their hopes and dreams of the Messiah ended on the cross. You know, as we heard in that meditation that Tony brought to us, they may have been traumatized by actually witnessing the crucifixion itself. And we read that verse that stands out for me. They stood still, looking sad. You know, they were really full of grief. And that speaks volumes. Little did they realize that all had not ended, but it was just the beginning. But is it so strange that they didn't recognize Jesus? Sometimes circumstances come along when things are so dark and difficult that it may be hard, for instance, to pray, to reach out to Christ. And then it is that the real value of people alongside us comes to play. Just as Christ was alongside this grieving couple, people who are alongside us can help so much. When people can pray with us and for us, when the words won't come out for ourselves. So never underestimate the times when you have been alongside others. In this, you are following the example of Christ. But of course, there may be other times when we are unaware of Christ being with us, when the demands and the pressures of our life shut him out, when we think we can do things in our own strength, and we forget that Jesus is always with us. And we, unlike the two that walked that road that night, know the whole of the story. They were going to learn very shortly the whole of the story. But we know, and our hearts should be stirred and our imagination captured by Christ's death and resurrection. Our eyes should be open for Jesus, recognizing that Easter, as I said before, is the beginning and not the end of the story. So how did Jesus reveal himself? We read that these two companions were talking and debating, or in some versions of the Bible, it actually says they were arguing. They were obviously trying to work out what had led them to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But in their debating and their talking, they had failed to look back in the Jewish scriptures for the answer. They failed to think that in those scriptures was described what had happened to him. And so Jesus expounded the scriptures for them from Moses and all the prophets, it said. He explained the whole of the scriptures, the things that referred to him. You know, that must have been an awful lot of explaining, and what a journey that must have been. Quite a conversation. You see, in Jewish scholarship, this is how they studied the scriptures. First, readers would discern the scripture, and then they would fiercely debate the different understandings of it, and then they would ask questions, and they would develop layer upon layer the meaning of the scriptures. And we can only surmise that this was, in a way, the procedure that these two had been following, but they hadn't really got the point as they trod that road together. And revelation had obviously not come. Maybe the two were in no mood for listening, or maybe the questions that might normally have been asked did not come. And we heard how Jesus even reprimanded them. His words, "How dull you are," or "How foolish you are," sometimes it says. They seem very harsh, don't they? But maybe it was his way of trying to hasten their understanding. It was after recognizing Jesus that they realized that their hearts had burned as Jesus talked to them. Perhaps this is like a learning situation where it takes a second experience to make sense of the first. For example, you might go to listen to a lecture, but you might not completely understand it. But perhaps when you go back to the textbook again, it suddenly all makes sense. We often need things repeated and explained more than once to us. You know, I wonder, thinking of how the Jewish religious leaders used to study the scriptures, I wonder if we really read the scriptures in this way. Do we debate, discuss with others, asking questions, peeling off layer upon layer? This, personally, for me, is why going to a house group is so beneficial. You know, people don't always agree, but it's good to hear what other people get from a passage. Because there is a real danger, especially when a passage is so familiar as this one is to us, that we think we know the story so well that we think we have complete understanding of it too. And it's been good in the last few weeks in the beta course to have a service where there's been the reading, then explanation by John, and then an opportunity to discuss as well. Of course, after tea and cake, because we wouldn't be church people, would we, if we didn't involve refreshments in it sometime. And I wonder, do we ask enough questions when we come to the scriptures? Do we come to them with a questioning mind? Today in education, and some people would say, well, it's not a good thing. It's not such a good thing as when children just listen. But today in education, children are encouraged to ask questions. Recently, we took our granddaughter to the British Schools Museum. And we went round the headmaster's house there. And after we visited each room, the guide that was with us said, "Have you got any questions?" Now, Rachel can be quite shy at times, but I was very impressed that after each room, she came up with a question that she asked. I don't know if I'd have done the same at her age, but by asking the questions, she learnt more. So let us all learn from God's word by questioning, by discussing, by meditating on God's living word, because it is a living word. It's not just on the paper to be read, so that our faith grows deeper and stronger and we see Christ more. And the final question, when did Jesus reveal himself? It is interesting to see what happens when they got nearer to their home. We read, "He made as if to continue his journey." You see, Jesus gave them the option of taking his word so far and no further, of letting him go on. He didn't force his company upon them, and he never forces it on us either. But obviously they wanted to continue their conversation. They must have sensed by this time something really special in this stranger. And we read, they pressed him, "Stay with us, for the evening approaches and the day is almost over." They used the excuse that it was getting dark, but really, I think they really wanted to hear more from him. They invited him in, and in doing so, opened their hearts to him. They invited him in. And it was in doing this and in Jesus' breaking of bread that suddenly they recognized who he was. It was in this familiar gesture, which they must have probably seen him do before, as they perhaps shared a meal with him. And sometimes a person is identified by the way they have gestures. Perhaps we recognize someone, even if we can't see them properly, right down the road by the way they walk. It's that's familiar about them. And gestures are part of ourselves. And these two companions recognize something much deeper than even the words that they've been sharing could convey. It was at this moment that Jesus revealed himself fully as he broke bread. And then, because he has revealed himself, he no longer needs to be visible to them. As we heard in that meditation, it was when he was no longer with them, no longer seen, although he was still with them, that they understand fully. Whenever we meet together and break bread in Jesus' name, Jesus is there in person among us. And we have, I'm sure, all experienced his presence, not just as we take communion, but at other times when knowing he's there with us gives us a sense of peace and a sense of blessing, knowing that his love is surrounding us. But let's just return to the fact that it was a gesture that reminded and revealed Christ to his friends. I read recently an article which said, as Christ's representatives on earth now, in a church growing into a new understanding of the urgency of mission, we need to be able to go where words and thinking alone cannot take us. And what this is saying is that we firstly show Christ to others through our gestures of action, of love, of encouragement, and care. It's not words that should come first, but the showing and sharing of God's love by being as Christ to others, and in time revealing Christ through what we do, and also what we say. But the sharing, the gesture, the doing must come first. But of course, that's not quite the end of the story. We sense that joy as they go back to Jerusalem. They had a story to tell, And Peter had a story to tell in his first letter. He had witnessed at first hand the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In this short passage that we heard, he encompasses so much. He talks about how Christ was there at the beginning of time. He implores his readers to love one another in Christ. And in this passage, there is a sense of the past and the present and the future. And so too there is in Luke's passage. Christ talks about the past, care and mercy of God that is revealed through the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures that those people would have known so well. And as this story shows, Christ is truly present with them at that very moment. But by his resurrection and ascension, Christ is with us always. We no longer need to travel alone. So as Peter says, let our faith and hope be fixed on God through the freedom we receive through Christ's precious death.